I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part. It is time to become a part.
And welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got an interesting show in store for you this evening, jam-packed with information as usual, focusing a lot about self-empowerment and the concept that you must be a frequency match for what you experience. But before we get into that, I'd like to give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And to kind of set the tone for tonight's program and give us a bass frequency, I'd like the guys in the booth now to play for us the mantra meditation led by Sri Swami Satchidananda.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari.
Hari, Hari, Om.
Hari, Hari, Hari,
Om. Hari, 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 Om. Hari Hari Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Om Hari 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 Om Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari
Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari
Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om.
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari
Hari Hari Hari Om
Hari
Hari Hari Hari Om
Hari
Hari Hari Om Hari 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 Om Om Hari 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 Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om Om Hari 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 Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om Om Hari Om Hari Om Om Hari 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 Om Om Hari Om Hari Om Om Hari 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 Om Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Om.
Hari, Hari, Om.
I'm starting to like. I'm starting the ET Yoga shows out with the great Sri Swami Satchidananda doing some Japa Yoga. By the way, Swami Satchidananda passed on in 2002, but his integral yoga institutes are still flourishing across America and around the world. And he was a spiritual teacher of mine, and as I said, I enjoy starting out programs with a bit of Japa Yoga, and then for those that are used to ET Yoga, you'll notice that at the end of our program, we'll be doing the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation presented by Bashar. And also, before we start talking about the self-empowering concepts regarding how you must be a frequency match for what you experience, I'd like to mention a show that I saw this week on YouTube that I think many of our listeners might be really interested in. And it was presented by Alfred Weber, and his show was Peter Kling, and the two of them kind of formed a panel and discussed the topic of positive timeline defeats Israel's use of 2014-15 tetra eclipses and Saturn moon matrix. And I'm going to repeat that. It's kind of a mouthful. Positive timeline defeats Israel's use of 2014-15 tetra eclipses and Saturn moon matrix. I found it very up-to-date, timely, lots of insight concerning positive timeline, and I try to be a positive in the ET Yoga presentations as well. Kind of try to stick to the philosophy that you don't go against the negative. What you do is you create a new positive. And in kind of reviewing information for tonight's main topic about being a frequency match, of course, all this comes from the basic concepts that your beliefs, emotions, definitions create the physical experience that we have in what we call our physical reality. And there's been a lot of research lately being done. One of the scientists that I like to refer to is Greg Braden, and he's in touch with quite a few other people involved with quantum physics, and they've sort of come up with the most recent theories that confirm that we're in a holographic universe and that it operates much like we're inside a virtual reality computer program. And like any computer program, it has its language of interpretation, and the language of interpretation for the universal hologram is belief. And thus, what you believe is. And I typically use the analogy of the placebo effect to illustrate this point, because most people are familiar with the concept of the placebo and how that in the medical field, the product that's being sold to the public by pharmaceuticals must initially outperform a placebo. And lots of interesting things about placebos, by the way, that most people don't know about, and that is that placebo works differently in different areas based on the beliefs of the different cultures and people where it's being tested. And sometimes the effectiveness of a certain drug is more or less powerful in different areas of the planet. But anyway, the whole concept being that a pill that, for virtual reasons, could be called a sugar pill or something that has no logical effect does or can be very, very effective. And the key reason being that we believe it. And belief certainly forms the very basic foundation of the whole philosophy related to ET Yoga. Because in my opinion, really everything is about belief. And a lot of people kind of understand the concept of why belief is so important. Some people understand it better when I mention thought creates. And for those who have done a lot of reading of Pleiadian books, such as Barbara Marciniak's Bringers of the Dawn or Self-Empowerment, understand that they really focus a lot on the whole concept of thought creates and how important intention and thought is. Another way to put it is that belief creates. And the third way that I like to illustrate this point is by mentioning that you need to be a frequency match for what you experience, because basically everything's a frequency, including the beliefs. So if you have a particular belief, it creates a frequency match, and that creates the experience. And in point of fact, even Bashar would say that, you know, basically you are invisible to anything which you are not the frequency of. So that's sort of the cornerstone of this whole concept around that you must be a frequency match for what you experience. And what you put out through the thoughts you have echoes and reverberates back to the sender, and much like a radio signal. And your mind is literally a transmitting and receiving mechanism. And you can only receive the frequency that you are tuned into by what's commonly known as the law of attraction. And when you are tuned into a thought, you emit a signal or a frequency, and that is what you receive as experience, just like a radio signal. And remember, it all starts within as a broadcasting signal sent out from within you and then returns to you, the sender. And when, you know, we don't like a song on the radio, we change the station without even thinking about it twice. But when it comes to our thoughts, we often leave them right where they are, even though they are not sweet music to our ears. And why do we do that? Well, simply because we have done it so many times before that we automatically tap into those thoughts without even knowing it. And that is why we don't receive what we want, because it defies the laws of physics to receive anything other than where we set the dial. And you can want a certain station for an eternity, but you simply can't receive it until you tune into it. And it is crazy making to do otherwise. You do not receive things so that you can feel good. You have to feel good so that you can receive things. It doesn't happen the other way around, although most people want things to come to them as or so they think they can be happier. But in order for things to come to you that make you feel happy, you must first find the feeling of happiness by imagining that you already have those things. This is why we get so frustrated in life, completely understandably. And with a little practice, you can tune into thoughts that are sweet music to your ears and begin to see a world of wonder and magic unfold. And I guess what I'm suggesting here is for you to change or switch the station that is broadcasting in your mind if it does not make you feel fine. And when you do this, you'll begin to see more of your dreams and desires come true. And I think another really good example of this whole concept about heart-brain resonance and creating outer reality in a really concise way is to check out Greg Braden's Curing Cancer in 3 Minutes. It's a video on YouTube, and he actually goes into the a lot of detail about the process, which he calls a technology, with him visiting a hospital over in Beijing, China, and they actually do show on film an actual tumor disappearing. And it's a real mind-blower for the Western mind. And clearly, you must be a frequency match for what you experience and also for what you create. And in talking about people who are on a spiritual journey, the intention to attract information or an experience clearly creates the circumstances. And for listeners to ET Yoga, no doubt most of you are consciously on a spiritual journey, or I don't see why you would have the interest to tune into the frequency of the ET Yoga information. And in the old days, Baba Ram Dass used to say that a certain falling away of worldliness and sincerity is what attracts you to the path. And once you have the initial experience, the seed is planted. And without being a frequency match to this kind of information, it's invisible to you. So here's the physics of how this works. Each intention gets you vibrating at a unique set of frequencies, and these frequencies then attract by sympathetic resonance those holograms vibrating in the same frequency. That is, out of the background of universal matrix of infinite possible holograms. So those holograms and symbols that synchronistically vibrate at the same frequency as the frequency of your intention, these get pulled out from within the matrix and received by you as the actual external physical experience that you then sense as real, that you sense as objective reality. So each intention is a unique set of frequencies, which is a template that determines which holograms you attract into your experience. And so that's kind of like the physics of how the process works, and that information comes from Bashar. And in my personal case, I was having many thoughts about the concept of who am I. And then I attracted myself to the Who I meditation technique as taught by Sri Ramana Maharshi. And for those not familiar with that technique, basically you place the as much of your consciousness as you can in your ajna center or third eye area, focusing on the concept of who am I. And then you internally say to yourself that I am not my body, I am not my internal organs, I am not my thoughts, I am not this spot. What spot? And that's the meditation technique taught by Sri Ramana Maharshi called the Vichara, and he gave that to some of his more advanced disciples. And then while I was doing that technique, I had the spiritual experience of realizing the answer. And actually, I made notes of this. And I'll share with you the notes that I made after doing that particular technique. The realization was that first there is a God. God has no name, nor form, nor shape, yet all shapes. That God exists beyond time and space and yet in it. God has no beginning and no end. It just is. It is eternal life and infinite love. Time and space exist in the mind of man, but no man can understand the infinite with a finite mind. The infinite can never become finite. But when the mind is completely still, a man's mind can merge and experience self-realization. A man's mind can only relate this experience according to his own capacity. So, for example, I mean, this is my... I'll take it in a minute. A man's mind could only relate this experience according to his own capacity. For example, if you take a cup to the ocean, it will take the shape of the cup. And similarly, if you take a mind to the infinite, it will take the shape of the mind. Actually, there's only one God, but it takes the shape of each individual's mind. For my mind, it's like we're all thoughts in the mind of God. It's impossible to describe exactly what it's like. Ram Dass would say that what we would most like to talk about, there aren't any words for. It can only be experienced. Reincarnation and karma are fact, and what we carry over from lifetime to lifetime is our level of consciousness and our karma, which is the good and negative attachments we have accumulated. As you sow, so shall you reap is exactly true. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. This is a scientific fact. It's also a fact with our thoughts and actions. The universe has three phases: active, passive, and neutral. And in the beginning, there is a void or neutral state, and this energy becomes activated by an internal polarization causing creation, or the sound humming. In this active state, there is no exact description, as again, it takes the shape of the mind. To me, it is similar to God wanting to know himself. Then there is the knowing, then just being. From God's standpoint, creation and its devolution are in a twinkling of an eye. From the highest levels, it's all illusion, and higher yet, it just is. The energy was never created, nor can it end. Similar to doing something during the day, sitting and being aware, and then going to sleep. Rising with I am, the thought I is the first to appear and the last to disappear. The mind is like a woven cloth, and when you pull out all the threads, there is nothing there. Yet the real you still is, like a big eye and a little eye. When the little eye shuts up, the big eye kicks in. It's very difficult to explain, but you don't lose your individuality. When your thoughts stop, you don't fall through your mind into deep pit. You still have awareness, and the energy levels are enormous. The bliss makes any physical feeling trivial. The closest approximation is sex. It is like a glimpse of a larger unity with corresponding feeling. And every person has the potential to experience this unity. Unlike traditional Western theology, which in many cases tries to make it sound like Christ was the only Son of God, and when you die there is a judgment, and when you go to heaven or hell, the real point should be to attain a unity with Christ consciousness while living. That's the purpose of being here. Also, many others have attained this level of consciousness. So that was kind of based on notes that I had. So at any rate, after a few days after I had this experience, I also synchronistically came into possession of the book, The Path of Self-Knowledge, which contained many quotes from Sri Ramana Maharshi, and they matched perfectly with my experience, and my new understanding led me to realize the validity of his experience. And the only difference being that he remained in the self-realized state. And I use this as an example of a creating frequency match for very practical purposes. And for example, let's say you want to quit smoking. This is your interest. Then you come to the belief that it is possible to quit. Without the knowledge of the possibility, I doubt the quitting would become part of reality's experience. Then after you quit, you realize that freedom of not being addicted. You no doubt also use some techniques to enable you to quit, and you may or may not have had someone to support you in this effort. But the whole process is your formula that you can use for other endeavors to be successful in those as well. And a good exercise or experiment to try is to write down some ideas or concepts that you would like to have more information about. Think about them for a few minutes and then let go. Later, come back to your list and see if you have been attracted to the information that you seek. I use this as an example of you determining what you choose to explore, as opposed to watching television where the programmers choose the topics to explore and may or may not be of highest motive, or may also be taking action for self-control or for developing a belief or using you as a tool in a fear process. So our beliefs, definitions, intentions, and emotions, you know, create our outer experience of reality. So who would you like programming your mind, yourself or somebody else with other motives? You know, either for control purposes or to influence you to buy something. If you realize how important our intentions and beliefs are in attracting a particular set of holograms into our experience, then no doubt you realize that you need to be aware of who is doing the program. And it's clear that when you explore past experiences or different versions of reality, you'll find out that there'll be a result of what you focus or choose to focus on and the spin you put on it. For example, two people experiencing the same event, or two members of a family, when they look back on a certain era of their life, certain things neither of them will remember. Certain things some will remember, some both will remember, but certainly what an individual chooses to focus on and the spin they put on it determines their experience of that reality situation. And much of new technology is so addictive that less time is spent by adults and children utilizing their imaginations and being the masters of their lives. And also, this too much attention to the outer world only results in beta brainwaves. So when a process gets you totally focused on the outer, it clearly matches with beta brainwaves, and it doesn't allow you the time that probably you should be spending in your imagination. And also why a good meditation routine is highly desirable. And the meditation at the top of the show, the Hari Om mantra, that can be used as a chant, as it's used on the radio show, or it can also be used internally as a meditative technique, the Hari Om mantra. And done similarly to the chanting, you find your particular rhythm and your particular speed of doing it and length and time that you're doing it. So it can be a very effective tool. So we realize that emotion plus thought creates reality. And from the archive of universal possibilities, the version that you imagine is your currently selected version of reality. Then you activate this selected version with your feelings. And the more intense the feelings, the more powerfully you attract this version, and therefore the more quickly it manifests as your tangible reality. And positive feelings activate the positive desired versions, and negative feelings activate the negative undesired versions, the dreaded outcomes. And I think in conjunction with that, it's also good to realize that all beliefs that cause negative emotions are erroneous, and all erroneous beliefs are based in fear. And therefore, all negative emotions are also based in fear. And I think that bears a repetition. Like, all beliefs that cause negative emotions are erroneous, and all erroneous beliefs are based in fear. Therefore, all negative emotions are also based in fear. And for a good, more detail on that, those concepts, I suggest people check out the College of Christ Consciousness, The Ultimate Truths of Reality. And there's 21 of them listed at their site, and all pretty much centered around the concepts of beliefs. And also interesting to note that this process also is the way, by putting positive spin, also attracts you to positive experience, you know, through the same process, the same physics. By placing positive spin on an outer situation, you are attracting to yourself those holograms. So it's the same process, really. And in point of fact, the Pleiadian information indicates is the fact that all your physical ailments basically come from emotional sources. And how would you arrive at a negative belief, for example, or how do you create a negative when all outer circumstances are inherently neutral? Well, the only way that can happen is to have a negative spin on a neutral circumstance. And that's what is really the cause of a lot of emotional dysfunction. And that is placing negative or a negative judgment, negative definition on neutral circumstances, because you can't have a circumstance that doesn't have two sides, both positive and negative, same as you can't have a coin without two sides. So there's always something positive in any outer circumstance, or it can't exist as a circumstance. And if you want to go a little farther into that, I suggest you go to my website, www.etyoga.com, where there's a free download there about the true nature of disease. And I don't ask for your email address or any kind of promotional gimmicks. It's just a free download. If you're interested in that kind of information, you can go to the website and get that information. And there's also a common misconception at play here, that we're taught that seeing is believing. In, I guess, plain terms, that means that what we perceive determines what we believe. But actually, the opposite is true. Believing is seeing. Or in more common words, what we believe determines what we perceive. And actually, to be technically accurate, people do not really create the reality. They select it and allow it in. And again, this harbors back to the whole concept that you need to be a frequency match for what you experience. And as you know, Bashar, channeled by Daryl Anka, is Esasani. And even in ordinary words such as experience in the Esasani language has a very deep meaning. And the Esasani word for experience is ili akar. Ili means mirror, or anything that reflects back ideas and feelings, thoughts, and images, and akar means consciousness. So what better concept or definition of experience is there than for it to be considered as a mirror of consciousness? And Bashar also finds deep meaning in words from our language. And in the word imagination, he sees I, Magi, nation, a nation of magicians. And he wishes to help us understand how powerful we really are in our imagination. And the potential of imagination is huge. And Bashar wants to teach us exactly how imagination can be used for creating wonderful changes. And he notes that any negativity or feelings of distress are caused by anything that we believe to be true that clashes with our own true nature. If we carry within ourselves only definitions or beliefs that are not in harmony with the truth, we remain frustrated, fearful, and or unhappy. He says finding real happiness or wholeness requires redefining all definitions or beliefs of reality that we don't like into definitions much more in alignment with the truth of our true nature, which is everlasting harmony, love, understanding, joy, and bliss. And, you know, connecting this to the topic of abundance, or well, I guess what a lot of people would call it, money. But in Bashar's world, abundance is, and I'll quote, the ability to do what you need to do when you need to do it. And I'm going to repeat that one. Abundance, definition of by Bashar's Esasani civilization, the ability to do what you need to do when you need to do it. And you'll notice there's no mention of money or how it will come. And according to Bashar, if you focus on one path that this can happen, it closes off the other doors that could satisfy this condition. And whatever form it comes in should be seen as equal to other ways, which opens all the possibilities. The more you are all right with the process, the faster it will go. And he also wants us to realize that what is happening for a reason, otherwise it wouldn't be happening. And that we should be willing to accept everything that is happening, stay in that energy, and you will explode in many different directions. And he kind of also indicates that we're always 100% abundant, but sometimes if we have a belief that we lack something, then we have what he calls an abundance of lack. And it's all about your definition of abundance. And why should we care how it comes to us if we can do what we need to do when we need to do it? And he suggests that just let it come to you in the form of least resistance. If you exist in the universe is capable of supporting you. And he calls this the science of the obvious, that the universe does not make superfluous creations that it is unable to support. You will get it when you need it, exactly at the right place and the right time. You just have to allow it to work. You don't need to make it work. And, you know, he's been pretty much a supporter of the concepts that were presented in the Secret. And I know many people across America are familiar with The Secret. And just as a inside information, Abishar was teaching all the concepts that are in The Secret about 25 years ago. He still teaches them. And if I was to say one thing about The Secret that's, to me, a little misleading for people is that there tends to be a little bit too much of a focus on money. I think that clearly money is on a lot of people's minds, and clearly there's a desire for manifesting more and more. But it's in my way of thinking, it's one of the more tricky subjects with respect to manifestation. And I think if we really take a good look at that, we see that if at certain times in our lives we would have come into a superfluous amount of money, would have changed certain other things that we may not have experienced or learned to have some appreciations for. So Bashar has always said that, you know, it's always best to have the belief that you always get what you want. But at the same time, with respect to large amounts of money, have the belief that if it's not available right now, well, that's okay. But, you know, in time, that'll come about. So timing and our higher selves kind of setting up certain situations in our lives is certainly a factor here as well, not just our own personal desires. And I also wanted to mention that Abraham Hicks, I think, has lots of interesting points about money, too. And one of the things that both Esther and Abraham talk about is that when you look in the bank and it isn't there, how do you feel? Well, it kind of creates the negative. And they want you to look in the vortex for where you see the money to create a frequency match vibrationally with that money. And sometimes it's better to not even think of the money, but think of the feelings of the emotional aspects, such as clarity or vitality or the concept of fun, that clarity is fun and certainty is fun and surprise is fun and adventure is fun and having abundance is fun and being at the right place at the right time is fun, and focusing on all these aspects of lightening up and also getting into the whole vibration of feeling as opposed to trying too hard. And acknowledging what you have, being very appreciative, so the more you appreciate, the more life gives you to appreciate. And when you can feel it, it becomes a reality. And know that what you need is coming, not to try too hard. And my most favorite line that they give is, to feel wonderful or fantastic is the condition necessary for the thoughts to turn to things. And I really like that one, that feeling wonderful or fantastic is the condition necessary for the thoughts to turn to things. And you know, in relation to that, it reminds me of the story of the Excalibur, that young Arthur innocently approached the sword and swiftly freed it from the stone without hesitation. He had no expectations of failure, for he had no fears about the outcome. And his power was in pure play, not in the torment of twisted possibilities. No yearning. Simply wonder. And those who failed to free the sword from the stone came to it with great seriousness and anxiety, and they were trying to use physical force for their power source rather than allowing the force of the source to be their power. And when you feel negative emotion, the sword remains stuck in the stone, for you have cut off the flow of your creative life force towards where you want to go. The sword of truth is freed from the stone when you feel positive emotion. When you choose to think thoughts that lift your spirit up, you lift the sword from the stone, and you allow energy to flow through you to those things you desire. You have attained creative control of your kingdom. You are the monarchs of universal source, the creators of your own royal destiny. The inner realm is where you create the outer world. Wield your sword with the light of love and awaken to a life of living happily ever after, for this is truly your royal birthright. And that's from Marilyn the Magician at Creating Camelot Club, story about King Arthur and Excalibur. And I think it's clear here that there's, you know, if we had to draw a line, there's a kind of a couple of philosophies. One philosophy is that everything is just happening to us by accident. And the other philosophy is that we're responsible as the creators of our outer circumstance. And Merlin says that this is the big line of understanding, that we have the power to make adjustments to our outer reality. In 3D, things just happen to us. And in 4D, we realize that we create the outer, and it is also our point of power, as if we created it, we can choose to alter it or make adjustments to it. And what seems magic at the 3D level is vibrational physics at the 4D level. So to do your inner homework, you need to ask yourself the question, what would I have to believe in order to be a frequency match for what I'm experiencing? Then change the belief and act differently, even though the outer circumstances may not immediately change. Then in time, the universe will have to mirror back your new belief just as it reflected your old one. And the key quote here, I think, comes from Bashar, in that don't let outer circumstances determine your state of being. Let your state of being determine the outer circumstances. And in point of fact, there has been a discovery about the neural center in the heart, which emits a magnetic frequency about 5,000 times stronger than that of the brain. So in point of fact, our emotions interface with the morphogenetic field and creates our version of reality. And thus, Bashar also has the kind of inner message to ourselves that outer circumstances are not as important as our physical being. So the emotional energy that we put out really is king when it comes to creating our outer circumstances. And of course, Merlin the Magician, he states that a mystical magician is one who is in control of his or her reality. And magicians create what they want or desire to have no matter what they have or see they don't have. They know how to perform vanishing acts when something is less than the way they would want it to be. They know how to apply alchemy and turn what is not so golden into gold. They have and love unconditionally, which allows them to operate in a fast frequency of vibration where manifestation happens fast. That's what makes it magic, because magic is never associated with struggle, hard work, or effort. And the law of attraction governs the universe and is known as a universal principle. And we live by this law even if we are not fully aware that we are. And the law says that if you are feeling something, you are sending a message that says, give me more of what I say is so for me. And we sow the seeds of thought and in time reap the harvest thereof. attention to something is attraction of that something. And the more attention you pay to something, the more attention it pays to you. So he basically says that focus is energy flow. And the same energy that creates the infinite cosmos flows through us and gives birth to where we flow that energy. As we see, observe, ponder, imagine, envision, focus upon, or pay attention to anything, we begin by law of attraction to draw to us those things. That we flow energy right to where we do and don't want to go. And it goes against all that is holy who we are when we say, I give to myself something less than who I am. This is crazy making, as energy in motion fulfills both our dreams and our nightmares. There's no defying or denying this law. What goes out must come back. What we are experiencing is our inner world will come back to view us in our outer world as a mirror, reflection of who we have become. We don't necessarily have to believe in this law, but it totally, wholly, fully, and faithfully, 100% believes in us. This law does not discriminate. It holds no prejudices. And if truth be known, if more of us knew how we draw experiences to us, the less experiences we would draw to us that we do not, that does not represent us. Because what we have been conditioned to fear is all too easy to believe because of past experiences that have nothing to do with now until we bring them into another now and fear what could become a possible future. Those thoughts start to send energy in motion through negative emotions that move us away from who we are and what we want, and that is why they simply don't feel good. We exist and we are powerful, and the law exists, and the law is powerful. It is, in fact, so powerful, this law of attraction, that it allows us to create anything just because the law wants us to know how powerful we are. The law demonstrates our exponential freedom. And Merlin states that many of you have moved from the third density of reality and are now operating in the fourth, and all while moving and thrusting forward into the fifth density reality. In the third, you are not fully aware that you are creator. That is where you easily find feelings of guilt, blame, shame, fear, frustration, and all the negative feelings that keep people stuck in third density reality. They feel things outside of them are causing what comes to them, that surely things must be happening to them that have nothing to do with them. They will stay there until they ask and desire to know why life is like it is, which is so often filled with these things they do not want. And when you begin to take self-responsibility, knowing you are the creator, you have moved into fourth density. If you are hearing this, it means you are either peeking into the fourth or have already arrived. And even if you do not always operate in the fourth, shifting back to the third at times, which is normal considering your conditions and circumstances, you're nonetheless aware that when you remember what you're doing through your feelings, then you still start vibrating in the higher dimensionals. And you are still primarily operating in the fourth through your awareness of what you are doing, even if you find yourself operating in the third density. The fact that you have found yourself there means that you have stepped across the threshold of enlightenment. Now you automatically begin to live in the fourth density reality more of the time. And you are aware that you have moved from your fourth density reality by the way that you feel, and you can then feel your way back to fourth density. The more you do that, the easier it is for you to stay in the fourth density reality. Thus, the easier it is for you to bring those things you desire to experience into your experience, and this is when creating gets really fun. And in doing this, the return to your fourth density is not only allows your dreams to come true, it assists others in allowing more of who they are to come true as well. And why? Because you, as the one from the one, have just added to the thought mass that allows others, including you, to move more easily and tap into or access those fourth density thoughts. And as you lift into the faster frequency densities, you lift the whole of all that is in existence. You are now making a huge difference in both your personal and planetary worlds. The fifth density reality, that of the unconditional loving allowance, kind is the fastest frequency that you can operate in while being physically incarnate. And the faster the frequency, the faster the fruition or the manifestation. In the fifth density reality, you will walk in the light because you have included and allowed the darkness to be part of the whole of who you are. You have integrated and balanced both the masculine and the feminine, the negative and the positive, the active and the receptive, and so on, into becoming more of a whole functioning being that allows wholly who you are to be. This is your natural, magical state of being. You are aware that you are light in crystalline form, and in that form you are illuminated in radiance and resonance, and you can then form anything into being. This is transformation at its finest. Operating in the fifth density is where you allow the vibrancy of the speed of love, which is faster than the speed of light, to become a reality. This is where metaphysical wizards and master mystical magicians have love to play. And this is where magic becomes the rule rather than the exception. This is where miracles become the ordinary rather than the extraordinary. This density is the non-resistant state where you allow the flow that takes you to anywhere you want to go easily and effortlessly. Magic is our natural state, and it comes naturally when we are resonating or vibrating in the state of unconditional love, that of fifth density, where we have mastered the craft of Creator. That's from Merlin the Magician, Creative Camelot Club. And I might also ask our listeners, appreciate your support for products that are at etyoga.com. My latest book out there, ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond, The True Nature of Reality. Lots of interesting topics in there that I'm getting some nice feedback from those who are purchasing that. Have a really interesting article called Miraculous Cures that many of you might find really interesting, and that's at etyoga.com. And as usual, I like to wish our listeners my best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I'll now ask the guys in the booth to play the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation that was first presented by Bashar.
I'd like to share with you the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation. First, you need to get really relaxed, either lying down or sitting comfortably or even standing up, whatever is the most comfortable for you. I then suggest taking a couple of deep breaths and imagine yourself in your perfect place of peace. You haven't a worry in the world and are just relaxing in your perfect place of peace. Then imagine the following. Around the area of your heart or solar plexus, just behind that area, is a bright ball of white light. It is a packet of energy that is your essence. This star that you feel inside yourself, this ball of light, now grows and grows and grows in intensity and gets stronger and stronger and stronger until it bursts forth as a beam of light, a laser-like beam bursting out of the front of you and stretches as far as you can imagine infinity to be. Stretching, stretching out as a beam of light beyond the solar system, beyond the Milky Way galaxy, and beyond, going faster and faster and faster all the way to infinity. But it is also elastic, so as it reaches infinity, it slows down and will stop and turn around, and as a solid beam, it will creep back towards you from the far reaches of infinity. Faster and faster and faster and faster and faster until it comes crashing through the center of your body and through you and out your back and all the way to infinity out the back. All the way out, further, further, until it reaches infinity, and it returns, but a little faster now. And faster and faster and faster until it too crashes through you, out the front, all the way to infinity. But it returns even faster now, out the back and out the front, and out the back and out the front, and out the back and out the front, and out the back and out the front. Back and forth, 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 back and forth. And out the front, and out the back, and out the front, and out the back, and out the used to this idea. And then when it gets right in the middle of your body, it crashes out the left side all the way to infinity and back out the right side all the way to infinity and turns and comes back through the center, out the left side and back out the right side and side to side and side to side and front and back 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 until you get used to the idea. And then you have created an X and Y axis. Now another beam goes crashing through your head up all the way to infinity and turns around and comes crashing back through your head and out the bottom and up and down 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 and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side. And it begins to build, 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 and builds to build until an infinite number of rays fly out simultaneously to infinity and stay there. You are suspended on beams of light, and you are stabilized at infinity. You hang there for eternity at infinity. Then you start to notice little bits of pulses, symbols, and signals, like a web that you are in the center of. Bits of information coming and going from every dimension and every space and time that exists. Every doorway and every gateway and forms and ideas and messages and communications like a giant matrix. You feel the ebb and flow of the infinite possibilities from every space and time, from front and back and side to side and up and down, clickety-clack, 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 clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clack. Clickety-clack. Now send out one large pulse on every line outward and receive one large pulse coming back like a heartbeat. Boom, 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 boom. And now you're starting to sense a larger infinite mass mind behind this heartbeat, this pulse. It's like a gigantic awareness, one soul, one mind. You are suspended in the center of eternity. Boom, 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 boom. Now, with every heartbeat, a new breath, a new awareness, a new perspective, a new experience, a new sensation, a new dimension, a new galaxy, forever, forever, new, new, new. And now all the beams expand until you are surrounded in a sea of light that is becoming more transparent, until it is like a bubble, but you can still hear it. Boom, 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 boom. You can feel the seed of all that is. And as the blood flows from your own heart, as the seed of the infinite of all that is, on that pulse you are connected from every direction and any direction simultaneously. And every time you remember your heartbeat, you will feel connected to this heartbeat. Be in your perfect place of peace and feel your heartbeat. Now, take a deep breath and feel refreshed, feel loved, and feel energized.